The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881 and share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back, and I hope your Thursday is going wonderfully well. Ours is just about to get better because we're about to pray. That's what we do at 9 a.m. Central Time here on Archangel Radio. We come together as a praying family, and we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It's 3 o'clock here in London, which means it's the Hour of Great Mercy. So you're sort of dialing into my great Hour of Great Mercy here that I'm enjoying. So we're all part of this wonderful praying community here on air. Now, every day I'm joined by a prayer warrior, somebody who gives up their time, comes into the studio or down the line, and they pray with us, pray with me and with you, so that whatever intentions come through, we have that. So let's find out from Mike who our prayer warrior is today.
Yes, Kevin, our prayer warrior for today is none other than Michelle Talbot. Michelle, thank you for joining us on the Turley Frequency.
Hi, thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
Now, Michelle, it sounds to me like you're joining us down the line. Is that right?
I am. This morning, I'm online with you. Yes, I am.
Well, wonderful. May I ask which part of the wonderful state of Alabama you're phoning from?
I am from sunny Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, Mobile, Alabama. Well, that's good enough.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
Yeah, it's good enough.
Now, Michelle, forgive me for asking, but have you been on this show before?
I have, Kevin. I have a couple of times.
Oh, well, listen, I'm still getting used to everybody's voice and everybody's accent, so forgive me for that, Michelle. And also,
that's
if you're
okay
down the line, your voice sounds a little bit different, so it's very good to have you back. So you know the drill. You know how this works, right?
I do. I do.
And you've probably been listening all week. We've had some pretty big intentions this week that we've been praying for.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, for sure.
And I hope you have equally brought us many large intentions today that we can pray for and ask God to work miracles with.
Yeah. Everyone's intentions are important to them, aren't they?
They are. And absolutely. And we will offer everybody's intentions up, whether they are for little things, for big things, for everything in between, or even if they're just for Thanksgiving, which is another intention that we must always remember when it comes to prayer and ask intercessory prayer. We should always preface it by Thanksgiving. So let's give thanks, Michelle, that you and I are here today, well enough and able enough to pray this wonderful prayer together. And it's up to God to what he wants to do with all the intentions that we throw his way.
It is, definitely. And Thanksgiving's hugely important. I think we tend to lean more toward intercession rather than Thanksgiving at times. And that's an important element to keep in mind. So thank you for pointing that out.
Totally, totally. Okay. Well, in which case then, shall we begin?
Sure.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
Lord, I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
Lord, I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's wonderful, Michelle. We are up and running. So for this first decade, who or what would you like us to pray for?
You know, for the intentions and also for the thanksgiving of the answer of our young men who are entering this upcoming class of seminarians, most particularly my nephew, Timothy, that they continue to hear the call of the Holy Spirit and remain close to our Holy Mother, wrapped in our holy mantle.
That's a beautiful intention, Michelle. Timothy, is he going to the seminary this fall, is it?
He is. He's just graduated from McGill-Tulin and has decided to answer the call to at least discern whether or not to be a priest. And he will go to St. Joseph's Abbey. He leaves in August, I believe.
Where is St. Joseph's Abbey? Forgive me, Michelle. Where is that? Is that in Alabama?
It's in Louisiana, southeast Louisiana.
And is that a Benedictine monastery, or?
I believe that it is Benedictine. I've been to the church, and it's absolutely beautiful. The grounds are spectacular. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful setting for what he's about to endeavor.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, listen, why don't we adopt Timothy on this show, Michelle?
Oh,
we're not prejudging anything, but we would love to accompany him in prayer. We could pray for him every month. If you just send us a text, let us know, or come on the show and we'll pray for Timothy and let him know we're praying for him and all his fellow seminarians, wherever they happen to be, especially those seminarians for the Archdiocese of Mobile. We pray, as you said, you've hit the nail absolutely on the head, Michelle, that they stay close to Our Lady and open to the call of the Holy Spirit in their lives, to whatever he is calling them to, and they won't go far wrong.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for adopting him. That's wonderful.
Okay, well, you keep us posted. And also, if Timothy ever wants to come on the show and maybe give us an intention or send us an intention even, we'd be more than delighted to stay in touch with him and get to know him as he embarks on this wonderful journey. But whatever happens, Timothy, if you're listening to this on and live or on Encore, whatever happens, at least you tried. And that is important. At least you tried to respond to what God's prompting was in your life. And believe you me, even if you don't become a priest or a monk, good will come out of this if you allow it and if you let God's will be done in your life.
Oh, beautiful.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Michelle. That's us up and running. Now, we had a text overnight, and I'm just going to read it out because it's very opposite to what we're discussing at the moment, Michelle, because during the week, we had a text from our good friend out in Nevada, who is Franco. Good morning to you, Franco, if you're listening. And Franco lives in a wonderful town called Sparks, Nevada. It's a great name, Franco. Lots of live sparks out in Sparks, Nevada. But Franco sent a text last night, and I'll just read it out. Just bear with me. He says, Kevin, praise God, for he is good. I have great news regarding my latest CT scan. And he goes on to say that his body is responding positively to the immunotherapy that he is in receipt of. Franco says the cancer is shrinking and some spots are no longer measurable. And he just says, thank you, Archangel Radio, and all of the prayer warriors, that includes you, Michelle, for praying for me and my fellow cancer patients, Katie H., Andre A., Bill L., in the Divine Mercy Chaplet. May our loving Father richly bless you all. No, Franco, we are richly blessed in being able to pray for you and your friends at this time with this terrible disease that is the scourge of so many lives today. So join with me in this decade, Michelle, in giving thanks for Franco's latest CT scan. But Franco, we're not stopping there. We're asking for true miracles to happen to you, to Katie, to Andre, to Bill, so that you'll all be on the text and you'll all maybe phone in one day from Sparks, Nevada and tell us about how good God is, because it is his wonderful will to help you at this time. Lifts your heart when you hear that sort of thing, Michelle, doesn't it?
It does. That's exciting. Very exciting. And God awesome, isn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the beauty of Catholic radio. We've been heard in Nevada.
Yeah.
So this is wonderful.
Yeah.
Franco, Michelle and I say hello from Alabama all the way out to Nevada.
That's right.
And we give thanks to God for his wonderful bounty. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Amen. Okay, so for this third decade, I'm returning to you, Michelle. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
You know, each time I've been on, I've asked for prayers for my son's reversion to the Catholic faith. And, you know, the mama's heart, much like St. Monica's, never stops.
Absolutely.
Praying to God and begging him for his mercy and gentleness and that he will continue to draw my son back to him and back to our beautiful faith.
Amen. May I ask what your son's first name is, his Christian name?
Sure, it's John.
John. Okay, Michelle, we'll pray for John. And listen, we can adopt John as well, you know. I love praying for people to come back to the faith. All I will say, Michelle, I don't know if I've said this to you before. I've certainly said it to other prayer warriors who this is a recurring theme of prayer for many mothers, is that my mother had a conversation with me a bit like maybe you've had a conversation with John many, many years ago when I wasn't really practicing my faith. And look where I ended up. So be of good faith. tortured heart. The Lord is even greater than all of these little problems that come our way. And you're absolutely right to invoke St. Monica. I mean, St. Augustine was absolutely away with it. He was gone, but he came back and he became a very, very great saint. So let's be of hope. Let's be people of hope when it comes to praying for our relatives, many of whom, they just don't know the faith. Isn't that right, Michelle? I mean, they don't know the joy of knowing the Lord.
This can be true, yes. Many that is true for. So prayer for hope for each of them and the tenacity of the parent to pray for them.
And maybe also something about peace of heart for you at this time, Michelle, with this. Because God's time is not our time, right?
Mm-hmm. This is true, Kevin. This is very true. And sometimes it's difficult to be patient, isn't it?
Especially if you're a mother, Michelle. I had a mother. I know what it's like, you know. I mean, mothers know what's best for their children. They want what's best for their children, and they want it now. I get it. I get it totally. But maybe there's a mystery in this, that John has been led on a path. But listen, he'll come back. If he's got a mother like you praying for him, and he's got the whole Archangel Radio family now praying for him, he'll be back. Don't you worry.
Yeah,
he'll be back.
I trust that.
All right. Well, we'll lift John up and we'll ask the divine mercy to envelop him and to slowly move his heart back to the Lord. Tomorrow's that wonderful feast day of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we entrust John to the Sacred Heart and indeed the Immaculate Heart of Mary on Saturday. If ever there was a mother's heart, it was hers. So we ask for those alliance of those great hearts to really envelop John at this time. And he'll be fine, Michelle. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sin and that of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Now, for this fourth decade, we are going all the way to New Jersey. We've had a text in from a listener up in New Jersey. And the listener's name is Elisa, and she's asking for prayers for her father, Bill, who she says has spent countless hours every afternoon praying and talking to those entering abortion clinics, but who is now suffering from stage 4 prostate cancer. And he needs fervent prayers as it spreads to his bones, and he is very weak. Elisa goes on to say that he's just entered palliative care when the doctors asked him what's important to him, meaning the end of life. And he responded, I just want to help people. His daughter says he is selfless even in this state of incredible pain. Please pray for him for healing and for strength. So listen, Elisa, thank you so much for getting in touch with us up there in New Jersey. We'll definitely pray for Bill. We give thanks for Bill's witness, especially outside those abortion centers over the years. And we ask the Lord to be merciful to him now in his time at this place and in the situation that he's in. We ask, if it be God's will, that Bill be granted a miracle, but we also pray that God's will be done in this situation. We also pray for you, Elisa, and for the rest of your family, for peace of heart at this time, this difficult time when you're having to deal with this situation. You probably agree with me, Michelle. That's a pretty difficult situation to deal with.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And what a beautiful testimony his life seems to be.
That's right. Yeah? That's right. And I mean, in some ways, that's more important than... It's not exactly length of life, it's how you live your life, right?
That's right. That's right. I agree with you.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's pray for Elisa and Bill now, and thank you for getting in touch. And Elisa, please do keep us updated on Bill. We'd love to adopt him as well. We have a very big heart on this radio station, and we love having a very wide and extended family, even all the way up to New Jersey. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
That is wonderful, Michelle. Thank you so much. Now, I will come back to you in a moment, Michelle, but we've had another text in. It comes from Anne in Mobile. Anne, good morning to you. And Anne is asking for prayers for her 95-year-old mom. Wonderful. As her mother moves to a higher level of care than what she needed previously. So, Anne, we pray for you and we pray for your dear mother at 95. What a wonderful witness, Michelle, 95 years old.
That's right. That's awesome.
And I love it that mothers and daughters are still together at that age and they can learn so much from each other. So we pray for you as well, Anne, at this time. We pray for your family, your wider family, that you'll be at peace, that you will be able to enjoy these days with your mother very, very much. And please keep us updated on Mom's progress. Again, we'll adopt her as well. Michelle, it's a very, very big home we have here for everybody on Archangel Radio. So listen, for this final decade, who or what would you like to, what's on your heart at the moment, Michelle?
Yeah, we do have, as you said, Sacred Heart feast is tomorrow. And so I would really like to offer all of the intentions, thanksgivings, petitions of all those who were praying, who were able to attend the novena, or those who were not able to get to any of the novena masses, for their prayers to be heard and answered by our Lord through the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Beautiful. Absolutely, Michelle, that's it. It's a big feast day tomorrow. It's a feast of a heart, followed by the Immaculate Heart, as you say. This is the moment to get your requests in, right? This is the moment to beg the Lord, because he is a heart that loves us. He loves us enough. He wants what's best for us. So let's ask him for things. He knows what's good for us and what's not. Just like you know what's best for John and what's not. He knows, as our Lord, what is best for us. So let's ask him, and let's then be at peace with whatever it is we ask him. You're absolutely right. And we ask everything through the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Hey, Kevin, I've got a prayer intention, if you don't mind.
Sure, Mike.
Sorry to interrupt. It's for my friend John Tidwell. His son Will has had some blood clots around his lungs, and I think some issues with his legs, and so he's had a hard time. He's been in a lot of pain, breathing, and just I pray that the pain will subside. He's been on a lot of painkillers, as you can well imagine, but I pray that the doctors will find, I pray that he'll get healing. Okay.
Absolutely. We'll pray for John and his family at this time. Thank you, Mike, for that. And of course, we'll pray for Reed, who is coming to the end of his course this week. We'll pray that Reed has had a very successful course and will come back an absolute expert on all things technological and radiophonic. So, Reed, we're praying for you. I'd also like to add in a couple of other things. We're praying this week for Antonio, who's a young man who's got a brain tumor, just diagnosed this week. He's needing urgent treatment. He has a wife and young family. Praying for a miracle. That's what it will take. So we'll include Antonio in this. I'd also like to include the anonymous texter who always texts on a Thursday. He's got a legal problem which has been hanging over him for years. And we also pray for that the Lord, maybe the Feast of the Sacred Heart, he will be given his heart's desire and he'll be released from that awful bondage that he's in at the moment. And also, I don't know if you heard it yesterday, Michelle, we had the Divine Mercy Sisters on, and they brought up Diana's plight at the moment. Diana lost her son recently. She'd already lost another son, and then she lost her mother, and she's also got cancer. And whenever I heard Diana's situation yesterday, all my problems paled into insignificance beside it. So Diana, if you're listening again, I'd like to include you as well in this final decade, and we'd like to pray for you on a regular basis in these coming days and weeks. I believe you're a woman of great faith, and that is absolutely exemplary at this time, given all the sufferings that you've gone through. So we need your prayers as much as we need to pray for you at this time. So let's put all of this together, Michelle, in this final decade. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in thee.
O my Jesus,
O my Jesus, I trust in thee.
O my Jesus,
I trust in thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Michelle, thank you so much for taking time out and coming in and praying with us today.
No, I'm glad to do so. Thank you so much for adopting my family.
Listen, keep in touch with us, even if you're not in the studio, and we hope you're back soon praying with us. But just text us anytime for John, for Timothy, and for anybody else that needs prayers. That's why we're here.
I will do that. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, Michelle, and have a beautiful feast tomorrow and on Saturday.
You too, Kevin. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Michelle. Okay, when we come back, we'll be talking to our good friend Dale Lash from the Lanyap. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to Trilly Frequency, here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. It's so good to have your company this Thursday. I hope your Thursday is working out wonderfully well. Now, if I say the Lanyop needs little introduction to anyone listening in the mobile area, it's because that newspaper is very much still in print and still the source of local news for many people. So it is a pleasure to welcome back on the show one of the Lanyap's award-winning journalists and editors, Dale Leash, who is going to help us catch up with all the news from Mobile and no doubt beyond. Dale, welcome back to the Trilly Frequency.
Hey, thanks for having me again. I really appreciate it. This is good.
Dale, there's not much happening in the world, so I'm assuming you're sort of sitting out the back with a cool drink most days.
Yeah, just, you know, kicking my feet up and listening to music, having a good time most of the time. Yeah.
I don't know what it's like in the States, but at the moment, the news cycle here is exploding every single day. I mean, we're talking huge stories just exploding every single day. Is it the same with you?
Oh yeah. And I think, like the social media and its ability to like give you news from sites from all over the world and all over the country has really just made every day like a huge news day. As you know, before the internet, I don't think that happened quite as much. So it really is like there's something new every day. You got to keep your head on a swivel.
Absolutely. So talk to me. Tell me, what is the let's stay in Alabama to begin with before we take it any further. What's the sort of major news items that the Lanyap and Alabama are talking about, Mobile area? What's hitting the headlines at the moment?
Well, probably the biggest thing in the state, the biggest story in the state right now is the U.S. Supreme Court said that Alabama had to redraw some district maps for its congressional districts. They basically said that they were basically gerrymandered, meaning that they gave one party too great a chance to win. We had basically six districts that were pretty heavily guaranteed for Republican victory, and one that was guaranteed Democrat victory. And what has happened is the court looked at that and said, that's not fair to the Democratic Party. Y'all go back to the drawing board and redraw these lines. And so that's kind of been the talk of the state for the last, I don't know, week or so. And basically what we're going to have to do now is they're going to have to find a way to bring in The argument was that, you know, it kind of disenfranchised too many black voters in the state. I think the black population is about 25-30% or so in that area. And there was one district out of seven. They want what the court basically said is we'd like to see a map with two districts that a black candidate can win out of the seven. So they're going to have to redraw the district lines. And why that's a big deal, especially down here, is it will impact our congressional district. We're in the first U.S. congressional district here in Mobile and Baldwin County. And for decades, the two counties that share the bay, basically, have been sort of their own sort of political entity with their own district. And this would threaten to break up that district, whereas Baldwin County would be its own, you know, in its own district, and at least part of Mobile would be in a different district. So that's kind of the issue here, because you want to talk about communities of interest not being split up, and I understand that, you know, black voters are a community of interest. You know, you could argue white voters are a community of interest, but also within that you've got communities of interest within a, you know, two county area. And so Mobile Baldwin County, many would argue, is also a community of interest. So what you're going to do is you're probably going to break up the Mobile Baldwin community of interest for, to get a second black majority district in the state. And, you know, while I think a lot of people would argue that we probably do need to find a way to get a second black majority district in the state, given the population of black voters, breaking up Mobile Baldwin County is going to be a tough one. They basically have one of the proposed maps I've seen basically has a strip of like the second district coming in, swooping in and taking like half of the city of Mobile. So you'd have half of the city of Mobile in District 1 and half of the city of Mobile in District 2, with Baldwin County being the rest of District 1 and District 2 going north. So I don't know if that makes a lot of sense to people. Maybe they'll find a way to draw the districts where it won't be like that. I don't know. And there's also an issue with Republicans believing, and probably rightfully so, that if they redraw the districts to where it's closer to 50-50, black voters and white voters, there's a thought that the Republicans could take all seven districts in the next general election. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on with the state. Plus, the state Democratic Party is in shambles too. So it's been very interesting.
I mean, just on that, because it's fascinating in a way what you're talking about there, Dale, because it's a socio-political issue in terms mm-hmm. of representation, but there's also something about how a city sees itself, right? I mean, the right. sort of boundaries of a city. I mean, because presumably cutting the city of Mobile in half and having two congressional districts, you've got all sorts of problems that will come out of that in terms of administration or even representation, yeah. right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you'll have what will happen is you've got Mobile, Baldwin County that have the Gulf and have the beaches, and we're very proud of having the beaches, and we want somebody who understands that as our district representative. And what happens is if you split the county in Mobile County and the city of Mobile in two, and you have, a district that includes Baldwin County going all the way to like Dothan near the Georgia border, you might have somebody in Congress who is landlocked talking of, representing Baldwin County, which a lot of the, people who are listening understand that a lot of the economic development is based on tourism. In Baldwin mm-hmm. County, especially. And so we want, we're worried about snapper season. We're worried about beaches. We're worried about erosion, things like that. And I don't know if a guy that, is from Dothan is going to really understand what's going on there. So that is the issue that I think a lot of people have. And kind of what you talked about, like I grew up in Baldwin County. We were very, I was always very proud to be close to Mobile, to be close to the beaches. To have us in different congressional districts just seems weird to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the problem with gerrymandering, and it's not unique to the United States. We have lots of issues sometimes over here as well. But in terms of gerrymandering, sometimes it's just that historically communities or cities have shifted. Their populations have moved. Do you think this is a case of gerrymandering, or was it a case that just history has kind of unraveled whatever the setup was in the first place?
No, I think it was pretty clear gerrymandering on the part of Republicans. And I'm not saying, look, it's something that happens, whatever party's in control is going to do what's best for their party. So I'm not necessarily talking about it being evil or anything, but if you look at the districts, it was definitely gerrymandered, because what they did with, I think it was District 7 is the lone black representative in Congress for Alabama. What it looks like right now is sort of like a spider web in the middle of the state. You've got, you got parts of Birmingham, you got parts of Montgomery, you've got parts of like a lot of the big cities in central Alabama are part of the same congressional district. So there was definitely some thought put into, grouping certain people together in a way that would benefit Republicans. But at the same time, like I said, if every district is closer to 50-50, the fear there is that the lone black majority and black representative might end up losing to a white Republican or a Republican just in general. And I don't know if that is what the party wants to see either. So it's going to be interesting to see how they draw these lines. But if they draw them the way that they've been. If they draw them the way they've been projected, it could mean seven Republican districts instead of six.
Absolutely. I'm a bit shocked, Dale, that you're suggesting that politicians aren't exemplary public servants who only ever work for their constituents. I'll have to have a lie down after the show and that, in light of that. But let's move away from politics. What else is what else is exercising your mind? Maybe you're in the middle of a deep investigation of some sort, which you can't speak about, I know. But what else is sort of coming to the fore? There's politics. What other aspects of life in Mobile are really making the newspapers?
Okay. We've got it's going to be politics again. I apologize, but it's more of a medical thing. So Alabama has legalized medical marijuana, and just this week, the commission in charge of like regulating the very brand new industry here in Alabama has approved licenses for, you know, cultivation, dispensaries, transportation, all that stuff. And so the cover story of this week's Lagniappe is talking about all of that stuff and what right. people can expect from medical cannabis industry here in the state. I mean, they're looking at by the end of the year, start of 2024, there could be medical cannabis products on the shelves for patients to buy in dispensaries, which, as someone who grew up in Alabama, I am pretty shocked that we've got, I mean, we're in a state now that has legal medical marijuana before we have legal gambling. It's pretty remarkable from sort of a things to do entertainment kind of, perspective. I'm really shocked that we don't have any sort of gambling allowed in the state, but we will have medical marijuana by probably maybe the end of the year. Pretty remarkable from a cultural standpoint.
I mean, I'm a little bit shocked just listening to that. I mean, we've had the same debate over here. I mean, there's places like Amsterdam and other countries have legalized it. I'm aware New York, for example, has gone down that road, but I wasn't aware that it had gone so far with Alabama. How come? I mean, it's the last state in the union. I would have expected that this sort of thing would have happened. How come?
Me too. I think it has to do with examples of patients here. So, there was a case years ago where this little girl, she was 2, 3, or 4 years old, and she was just having seizures like constantly. And the only relief she could find for her seizures was cannabinoid oil and cannabis as medication for her seizures. And so I think what happened was her parents were very adamant about not having to move out of the state to get care. She eventually did because it took too long. But the idea was, in cases like that, where this is really the only and safest cure or safest treatment for her ailment, that why let a little girl suffer when we have the ability to give her what she needs? And so I think that really had an impression on a lot of the representatives at the state level. And it just kind of went from there. I mean, it's going to be heavily regulated here. Obviously, it's not legal for recreational use. You have to have a prescription. You have to have a card. Your name's going to be entered in a database. It's very, very big brothery. But it's highly regulated. And I mean, ultimately, I think with the fact that it's so highly regulated and going to be watched so closely, I think that's what made it happen here. But just like you, I was kind of shocked to see it happen. I've been covering it for a year and a half. Never thought in my life I would see. I figured Alabama would do it, but like you said, I thought they'd be the last state in the union. So I'm really, really kind of surprised.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like we have an expression over here for laws like this, which is hard cases make bad laws. I don't know if you've ever heard that expression, Dale.
I haven't, but I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
there's been
a lot of legislative change, a bit like you're describing, where one case which kind of captures the public imagination for all the wrong reasons, no offense to the person, but it doesn't make for a good law further down the line because it's driven too much by emotion and not enough by legislative need. But anyway, we'll watch that space and watch the impact of that. So that's a sort of medical story out there. Is there what else is happening?
Well, we we have, I know that, like, there's a town in Baldwin County, Spanish Fort. They've been trying to get their own post office, and the state rep, the U.S. rep has tried to get them their own post office, and that doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon if we're going really micro local here. So there, we got a city in Baldwin County without a post office right now. So how do people
do their normal sort of mailing?
They got to go to the post office in the city next door, the larger city next door. So it's, you got Spanish Fort on the east side of the bay. You got Fairhope, you got Spanish Fort, and you've got Daphne. Now Spanish Fort's probably the fastest growing city in the county. And you got to understand, Baldwin County is probably the fastest growing county, maybe in the state outside of like North Alabama. So, it's really remarkable that you're going to have a lot of people that don't have, that are having trouble with access to a post office that have to go to the neighboring city to use the post office. So that we wrote about that on our website, laneyatmobile.com, this week. And then something for people that have a nostalgia, nostalgic feelings. Lad People Stadium has been in the news. It's a 70-plus-year-old stadium here in Mobile. It's in a black community, and there have been fights for years. People in the city have contemplated tearing it down because it's just too large for what the city needs right now, and they kind of building a smaller stadium. It turns out, though, that the city is now going to sell it to the school system, and we've got some local high schools who are going to play there, it appears. But we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on that. That always ruffles people up.
Is that the Lad People's Sports Entertainment Complex?
That is correct. That is correct.
Right. Just on that, the whole sports, because I know football in particular is a huge thing in Alabama.
It is.
I mean, how does the Lanyap cover that sort of, enthusiasm for a sporting team and event? Is it something you kind of gear up for the summer months, that you're kind of aware that there's going to be extra coverage, there's going to be extra need to talk to people about this?
Oh yeah, we have a wonderful sports editor who's been doing sports for years. And so we have one of the best, I would argue we have one of the best sports sections in the state, and it's all him by himself. He's got like five hands. I don't know how he does it. But yeah, we do a high school football. I mean, I know college football, everybody hears about college football in Alabama and how great it is and how everybody's excited about it. But there's a lot of passion and enthusiasm for high school football as well. And so yeah, every summer, it's like you said, we kind of ramp up. We usually do a special section. I'm not privy to the conversations on whether or not we're going to do a special high school football section or not, but I think we will, where we, interview people from all, 20 some teams that we cover. And so that's kind of what the summer is, kind of a lull for the sports department here at Atlanta, for one man sports department. So yeah, anytime we can get football in the conversation, we're pretty excited about it. So that's what we can look forward to in a couple of months.
So in terms of the summer coming along, there's obviously other things that take priority, people going off on vacation or people holidaying in the Alabama, the Mobile area. I mean, there are people coming in who will be picking up the Lanyap. I mean, how do you orientate your news for the incomers, for the vacationers?
That's a good question, and I don't know that we think much about the vacationers, to be honest with you. Outside of, we have a dedicated reporter that covers the beach cities. So I would argue that that's probably the one thing that we do is we, obviously it's summertime, businesses are booming on the beach, people are going to the beach, it's very, very crowded. So I would imagine that that's probably the best answer to that question, is that we maybe you see a little bit more beach coverage in the summer than you would like in December, just because, there's a lot of activity there. But outside of like, do we go into editorial meetings discussing what are we going to do about talking about for tourists. I don't know that we do that.
I don't think any newspaper does, Dale, really. I mean, even here in London, they never consider tourists. I mean, but there is obviously people. I mean, I don't know, one of the joys of visiting foreign countries or different places was picking up a local newspaper, because for me, it was a real insight into the local community.
Yeah, I love that too. I especially love if I go on vacation, I'm lucky enough to go to like an island country, I'll pick up the newspaper, especially if it's an English language newspaper, just daydream about working there. But like, how great would it just be to live on the island and work for the newspaper? And I always think it's funny to pick up the local newspaper and read it and see what's going on too. So I'm with you there. I do hope that tourists and everybody pick up our newspaper, or at least can read it online, lionantmobile.com. Can subscribe, and we're locally owned and operated, so all the support in the world helps.
Now, we've coming to the end of our interview, Dale, but I saw on your Twitter feed that you had the best beer in town, celebrating the best bar in town. Have you been out doing some research on the local best beverages and the local best hostelries?
Well, I will tell you, so Callahan's Irish Social Club is a bar, a very, very nice bar in, it's kind of a dive, but it's good, in my neighborhood. And so I went out the other night, listened to some music. They had we have a brewery in town, one of several, but in my opinion, maybe they have the best beer, Braided River Brewing Company. And they did a special edition of Callahan's, beer that they brewed themselves. It was kind of like a mango IPA sort of thing. It was delicious. I was just sitting there listening to music, just having a good time, without the rest of my family, which sometimes is good to kind of get a break. And so, if anybody's interested, Callahan's, go get a cheeseburger, have a beer, listen to music. It's a great time.
Yes, I've heard a lot about this, Callahan's. It sounds like a wonderful place. If you're ever in there again, tell them we'd love to speak to them. Being an Irishman myself, I'd always happily talk to them about how they are spreading the Irish joy to Alabama. That would be very, very nice. Well,
maybe the
Dale,
biggest
St.
Patrick
very
celebration.
Good.
Yeah. Maybe the biggest St. Patrick celebration ever.
Well, the thing about the Irish is they have a St. Patrick's celebration almost every single week, by the looks of things, in most places, as far as I can see. And I say that as an Irishman. They do love a hooli, as they say. There's nobody. Hooli. I have a niece who went to Japan just a few weeks ago. And she was in some far-flung part of Japan, which I could hardly find on the map. And the first thing she sent back was an Irish bar slap bang in the center of that Japanese town. So I thought, well, there you go. We get everywhere.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
But listen, maybe one day, Dale, you and I will raise a glass in Callahan's and talk about all things journalism. That would be great fun. But for now,
would love it. Yeah.
For now, I'm afraid we are just having to do with this wonderful modern telecommunications. Thank you so much, Dale, for taking time out of your busy schedule. Yeah. I know how busy it is for you at the moment, but we really appreciate you coming on, updating us on everything that's happening in Alabama Mobile and everything across the pages of the Lanyap.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. That was Dale Leash from the Lanyap. He's an award-winning journalist and also one of the editors there.
All right, Kevin, what's going on tomorrow?
Thanks for asking, Mike. Well, we have the Ukrainian EFACT coming in. He is essentially the bishop, the kind of Catholic bishop for all the Ukrainians who are living in the United States. And we also will be having some guests on from Chrism Press who will be recommending lots and lots of summer reads. So if you're looking for something, a good novel, a good book to read this summer, tune in tomorrow.
Awesome. Looking forward to it, Kevin.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you for listening. And we'll do it all again, same time, same place tomorrow. So until then, the Feast of the Sacred Heart. Stay safe, stay tuned to Archangel Radio, and may St. Joseph watch over you and your family.